I'm so thankful. Ooh, that was a little loud. I'm really thankful. I'm so thankful that we have the words of God with us right now. We can know what the Lord Jesus wants, what he has said, and he's communicating to us. I'm really thankful that the Lord Jesus, we've been singing about, who made everything, who rules history. I mean, like we studied about in the first service, I mean, I thought this was really cool that it just goes skimming over 400 years of history, just like, here's this king, and he, you know, he did his big thing and gone in like half a verse, you know, and this, you know, and then we get to the New Testament, and it's like, okay, slow down, Jesus. I mean, he gets the whole New Testament, and we get the details and the wonder of what he has done. Well, listen, he is here right now, and he has something to say to you, to every one of us collectively, to you individually. The Lord is here, and I'm so thankful that he has brought our family to be part of this church. It's been almost 3 months now. It's hard to believe how quick things happen, and it's been a blessing getting to know you all more and to hear the stories and to see the ways God has been working in this church. And to hear a lot of the joys and the amazing good things God has done. But along the way, we also pick up on the fact that along the way, there's also disappointments. And there are hard things. And we realize that part of the history of God working in this church is sometimes trying and working very hard and pouring blood, sweat, and tears into seeking to do the will of God and his calling, only to feel like, we anticipated more, or we thought it would look different. And I believe that the text we're looking at today will be one that encourages us in the face of those kinds of discouragements. In fact, if you look at verse 1, you'll see this is kind of how Jesus sets up the whole thing, where he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And that's where he goes from there all the way when he comes to verse 27 and starts kind of winding up this section. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives." But then look what he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." And what a good word this is, because when we get discouraged or when we're disappointed, then the air can go out of our sails, our hands can start to hang down, we can start to feel like, oh, what's the use? And we can just begin to go through the motions and do stuff, but there's no fire, no zeal, no power, no life in that anymore. And the Lord here knew his disciples needed some encouragement. And he gives us some really powerful encouragement. And one of the big things is he's going to give us a guarantee. And I know a little bit about guarantees that don't pan out, and maybe you do as well. Our oldest son has some special needs, significantly. And so we've been on a journey for years of hoping and finding another book that kind of explains it. We go, oh, that makes sense. Well, now we realize this is what's going on. And so we try this and follow this instructions and we do all this and pour our time and emotions and life and prayers into it, only, you know, after a while to say, oh, now we realize it's this. And then we try some other medicine, some other vitamin, some other mouth device, therapy, treatment thing, and even just right at this point in our life, I think in the last couple of weeks, we looked again and we said, you know, we've had somebody 7-8 months ago just say, look, this way of doing things, this is the answer. This helps so many people, and their lives are changed, and it's this marvel and wonder. And we said, you know, we have to try something. Let's try it. You know, so we've been putting in $150 plus every month, trying this faithfully, going through all the things you're supposed to do. And we just, you know, the last couple of weeks said, nope, no results, you know. And that's tough. And probably there's different ways in which you may feel like that, whether in ministry, of doing what God has called you to do, to serve, to try to reach people with the gospel, or to minister to your own family members or people you love. Specifically, we're talking about in the field of doing what God calls us to do, and then it doesn't look like anything's working. Well, what we're going to look at today is something we can have absolute 100% confidence. This works. Maybe not the way we imagine, maybe not in the timing we imagine, but we actually have some incredible encouragement in this text before us. And the thing that we're going to see here is that Christ does guarantee that he will work through prayer. And I know that might sound basic on one sense. I think the Holy Spirit has been wanting to grow us, this church in particular, in this matter of prayer. He's been lining up. I mean, I know Brother Kevin had a great message when we first came about praying for one another. And then Caleb has preached about the story of Hezekiah. And that really hit me, how Hezekiah was praying based on the character of God and bringing that to the Lord. Pastor has preached two messages, at least, from Daniel. We've gotten to see Daniel's example in prayer. And last week, again, we were looking at how God answers prayer. He changes things even in the heavens. And I think there are indicators that the Lord is growing the congregation. Even we, coming into it, feel like we can see God working in hearts, God doing some things. Last month, we had that Grace Group's first meeting of the month where we all came in here and we were praying together and serious about that. I mean, we didn't even have food. We still came, right? Because we said, we believe God is going to answer prayer. Let's do this. And that is right on track. And I'm going to pray in just a second, and I'd like you to pray with me. Lord, please help me to get a hold of what you're saying to me in these verses. Because there's so much that God has for us. His word is deep. I don't have to feel ever ashamed to think, oh, I'll probably give them something and they'll already know it. And there will be no benefit at all from this text of Scripture. Never. Because you know what? This is the word of God. And the Spirit of God picked this text knowing what every single one of you and me, all of us need. And so pray with me right now. Let's ask him, Lord, show me what you want me to take out of this and to do about it. How do I grow in prayer? Would you pray that with me? Lord, it is exciting that we get to study these precious words that you spoke that have been recorded, preserved by God for us all these years, and now we have them in our own hands. We can hear from you. And not only that, but for those of us who are in Christ, you have given us the Holy Spirit. You yourself, your own heart, you coming, working right in us to teach us, to convict us, to encourage us. Oh Lord, we welcome you to say everything that you want to say as firmly or as gently as you want to say it, and tell us what to do, Lord, and we'll do it. Please, Lord, use me that I would not get in the way of you speaking. Lord, we're here to learn from you, and please allow us to learn from you. And Lord, there might be some people in here that they don't even know you in a real relationship yet, of real faith. Please, Lord, give them some understanding. Turn the light on. Let them hear you speaking to them personally. They would grasp it. They would respond and come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope your appetite is whetted to actually read the words of the text. But before we do, let me just give you a little context and then we'll read it. And the context is this. Jesus is in this chapter with the disciples on the night before he was going to be crucified. And he knows that. It says, sets that up in chapter 13, verse 1. It says, he knew this was the transition time. He's about to leave. And in his mind, he's not just thinking about dying, but he's already anticipating that he's going to rise again. and that he's going to ascend back to the Father. So he's thinking about this is a transition. And right, I mean, during this time in history, Jesus, the Son of God, was right here on earth, walking among us, living. I mean, we could see him, touch him, hear him, feel him. But that's not going to stay that way. He knows he's going to be in heaven working through us as his people here on earth. So this is the big transition. The disciples are really troubled about this because he just said, I'm going away. And that's like, the worst thing they could imagine. But Jesus says, no, this is good, and here's why. This is going to be really good. And he begins to tell them why they can be encouraged. And so see what he says about why they can be encouraged, why we can be, and then specifically, what do we do about that? Starting in verse 1, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So the main focus we're gonna take is these three verses, verses 12, 13, and 14. There's a whole lot more of really, really wonderful stuff in this chapter. In fact, if you want to know what chapter I probably would recommend memorizing out of the whole Bible, I would say this one. Is loaded. The first four verses, he tells us we do not have to be discouraged, because right now he has gone to the Father, so he's guaranteeing a glorious future with him. For those of us who know the Lord, a glorious future with him. But then he quickly transitions, and the way the conversation flows, the bulk of where he takes this conversation is. This is the second point, which is not only do we have a glorious future with him, but he says, you have a glorious present right now because I'm with you. He says later on, I am not leaving you like orphans. You're not left to yourself to flounder around, to try to figure it out, to try to know what to do. He says, I'm going to be there right with you. Like, I'll be responsible. It's on me, you know? I'm the dad. You come along for the ride. Do what I tell you to do. It'll be okay. He says, you know the Father, just like you have known me. This is this personal, relational knowing. And then he's going to say, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know him. That's a personal relationship, a friendship, a He's saying, just like you have known me, I've been right here with you. You just depend on me, and I'm the Lord. And I say, this is what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to go. Here's what you say. Here's how it's going to run. He's like, the Holy Spirit is going to be there like that. He's going to be right there with you. You can count on him, depend on him, know him personally all the time. And that's going to be me with you, the Father with you. So it's incredible, this hope, this encouragement he's giving. But when he comes to these verses, he gives us this great hope about him being with us right now, that means success at the work Christ is wanting to accomplish. Like, that's what Jesus, he was excited about, the work that God the Father had sent him to do, of rescuing the world. That's a pretty cool work. I mean, like, he was coming to redeem the fallen humanity, the earth that was all destroyed by sin, and save all of history and his own people. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. And that's what he was here for. And it could be really scary for the disciples to hear him saying, now I'm going away. And they're like, we can't save the world. And Jesus says, oh yeah, I am. This work, what I've started, this is going on. So see it. He says in verse 12, very truly I tell you. I mean, like, if there's any doubt, you know, like, just for him to tell us something, he's like, I'm going to emphasize it. I tell you, this is what's going to happen. Truly, I tell you, this is what's going to happen. In fact, very truly, like, this is guaranteed. Like, you can believe this. Here it is. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So what is he saying is going to happen? He's saying his works are going to keep happening through his people. And there's a parallel there, because just a smidgen ago, Philip had inadvertently put his foot in his mouth, you know, and he says, well, we want to see the Father. I mean, that seems like a good thing to ask. But Jesus is like, what? Philip? Seriously? This is the last day. I'm about to be gone, and you've not gotten this lesson yet. He says, if you see me, you get the Father. I mean, like, the things that I'm saying, what is that? That's the Father, God, working through me. Those are his words. The works you see, where did that come from? It's the Father. Everything you get when you see me, you're getting God working through me. God in heaven working through me here on earth. You're getting God right here. And now he's paralleling, and he's saying, okay, now I'm going to be up in heaven at the right hand of God. And he says, my works are going to continue. Why? On the same pattern. We down here on earth, who are Jesus' body members spiritually, he's saying, I am going to be working through you. So that when you're living and you're doing, what are you doing? You're doing Jesus' works. Jesus is showing you what he wants to do, and he's accomplishing it through you, his work. And he says, even greater things. He's not saying, well, let's kind of wrap things up now. No, I mean, he says, I'm getting started, and we're going places, and this world is going to be changed. People's lives are going to be rescued. Satan will be defeated. Souls will be saved. Righteousness will grow until that glorious day when he returns and finally makes everything perfectly right. But he is going to accomplish his will and glorify the Father, that's what he says later, in Hamtramck. Now we could look and say, wait, for real? Okay, back up. What did he say? Very truly, I tell you, right? This is true about here, about Hamtramck, about God working through Grace Baptist Church. Because see, who does he say he's going to do this through? Does he say, I'm going to do this through Christian elite and through chosen apostles, maybe one here in history, one there? No, look what he says. Verse 12. I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they, same people who believe in me, they will do even greater things than these. So who is he saying this is? This is for those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ by saving faith. And let me go ahead and explain that a little bit. I know many of you understand that, but this is important. There is a kind of relationship that we can have with the Lord Jesus where we trust in him for that relationship between us and God to be restored that was broken. So the Bible teaches that when we are born into this world, all of us are born spiritually broken. We are not what we were supposed to be. We have a broken nature that does not relate rightly to God. In fact, it says it's so bad we're spiritually dead. Like that human spirit that God put inside of us that's supposed to have a loving relationship with God all the time and depend on him, dead. There's no life, no connection with God. And so we do horrible things from day one. I promise, I did not teach my children to be mean to each other. I never had to sit them down and say, now listen, if you're going to lie to your mother, I'll tell you how you do it. I never had to do that. Now, have I had to tell them a million times how not to do that? Yes. Did my parents have to tell me a million times how not to do that? Yes. Why? Because we come into this world broken, rebels. We want our own bad way, and we don't go God's way. And so we're all guilty. We're all separated from God, and we're not going to do God's works. We're not going to accomplish anything good in this world unless something radically different happens, where God restores us back into a right relationship with him. We get rightly restored to the Father. You say, how does that happen? Well, he tells us in verse 6. This is beautiful. Jesus says, I am the way. Like, there you go. That's it. He says, it's me. That's great. Like, he's talking about how do you get to the Father? How do you get to heaven, to paradise? How do you get to know God? Well, he doesn't say, well, let me show you the way. Okay? Here it is. I've got a list right here. Now, if you do all these really good things, at least the best you can, then that's the way you get back to God. Or, on the other hand, he says, these are all the really bad things. Now, don't do these. You know, but you're pretty good. You don't rob banks. And anybody killed somebody? Okay, you guys are fine. No, he doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say, I'm going to show you the way. He says, Thomas, it's right here. It's me. I'm the way. He doesn't, it's not rules and a path and some plan or strategy. No, if you say, how do I get restored back to God to have life in my soul in a relationship with the Lord? Jesus says, it's me. And what that means is it's a relationship. And so there has to be this official time in your life where you realize that Jesus is the one who can restore you back to God, and you say, okay, I'm ready. I accept you, Lord Jesus, to save me, where I'm forgiven, and where now I'm one of your people. Kind of like the Lord uses the illustration of adoption, right? Where a family takes a child, and they say, okay, you weren't part of our family, but starting from this day, here we've got a paper. This says, ta-ching, you're our kid. Okay? You have permanently entered into our family. You're ours. Okay? That's a major change that happens. Also, he uses the illustration of marriage, you know, where one day you're totally two different people. You know, you can go your own ways, but then marriage happens, and guess what? You become one. When I married Marjorie, our lives were forever until death do us part. We're one for sick or poor or health or all those things. No matter what happens, we're married. We become one. Well, God uses those illustrations. The idea is there's got to be a time when you officially choose, I am accepting Jesus. I am joined to him to become one of his people. And that, actually, when that happens, that's permanent forever. Like, For, I mean, it never ends. Marriage will end, you know, when we die. This relationship never ends, where Jesus accepts you and he says, you belong to me. That's how we have life. Because Jesus is life itself. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Like when you are connected to Jesus, you have life in your soul. He makes you a brand new creation. You belong to God forever. It's everything. And that's it. When you show up in heaven someday and the angel says, well, hang on, how did you get here? I belong to Jesus. Okay, well, I can't turn Jesus out of heaven, right? You're in because you belong to him. So listen, when we're focusing on this promise, this guarantee Jesus gives of how he's going to do his work through his people. But the first step is, if you're not one of his people, you can be, because he has already done everything to make that possible. See, in a marriage, for instance, if a man takes a wife and they get married, well, it turns out she has thousands of dollars of debt. Well, guess what? That husband is now responsible for all that debt, right? Because, I mean, they're married, the husband's responsible. Well, guys, listen, when you put your trust in Jesus and you've got this huge problem of sin where you should die and go to hell forever, guess who takes care of that problem? That's what Jesus did. That's why he died. See, he never would have had to die. But he did that because he's saying, well, if I'm going to have you as one of my people, I've got to pay for your debts. And so he died on the cross to take away that sin. And then he rose again. He says, okay, it's finished. That's paid for. Now, listen, the way is wide open. He says, you can trust in me, believe me, and enter this relationship where you're one of my people, and you're with me forever, forever and ever. This is amazing. And I just want to say, if you've never taken that step, if you've never reached a day in your life where you can say, yeah, I remember on this at this point, I have put my trust in Jesus, that he is mine, I belong to him, all my sins are forgiven, I am God's, I know it. You can do that today. The beauty of it is Jesus can hear you talk to him. Man, that's cool. He can hear everybody all over the world. And right there, right now, in your seat, you can say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry. I have been really bad. And I need you to forgive me, to give me eternal life. I would like to belong to you. He'll take you immediately and officially, and you'll belong to him. It's the greatest thing in the world. If you have any questions about that, any questions at all, you're like, man, I need to know about this. Please come talk to me, talk to Pastor, talk to somebody else who knows these things, because this is it, this is life. Now, I think most of you in this room, you could say, yes, I remember the day. I remember I have trusted Jesus, I am his. Then this promise is for you. This guarantee. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. You say, how on earth is that possible? Well, look what he says. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when he's saying I'm leaving earth, he doesn't mean I'm leaving you. He's still in communication with us. So he's saying, actually, I need to get there, and I'm going to be right at the right hand of God the Father. And so you ask for whatever you need in order to accomplish the works that I'm telling you to do, and then it'll happen, because I'm right there. I mean, I can get it done for you. I'm God. I'm the Son of God. I'm at the right hand of God at the throne. I'll take care of it. It'll happen. And then he says it again. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So, see, the guarantee is Jesus is going to work. Guys, it's not our wisdom that's going to change people's lives. And it's not our effort and zeal that's going to make all the difference in getting the work done that God has called us to do. But it's Jesus doing it. Now, that's pretty cool. So what do we do with that, right? I mean, this is a promise a mile big. And I mean, like, this is huge. I mean, this is bigger than somebody offering you $1 million. I hope if somebody offered that to you, you would, like, really pay attention and immediately be thinking very hard about, okay, if somebody's offering me $1 million, I got to do something about it. Probably most of you would just say, right? You'd take them up on it. Well, look, what do we do? Well, the answer is we should pray then. This is how he's going to accomplish his work, how he's going to succeed. He says, you ask and I will do it. And I think there's at least four specifics. I want to try to make this really practical. Like, okay, well, I know we're supposed to pray, but I do pray, you know, but like, what is he talking about? What kind of praying is this? What is this, like, how do we actually, you know, like, make that really practical and do it? So, I've got four descriptions that we'll briefly just kind of go through that could just make it, I think, very clear to us. And I think you can see these things by thinking through the text. One thing is we need to pray specifically. Second thing is that we need to, based on this, we need to be praying missionally. And then we're going to see we have to be praying obediently. And we'll conclude with the hope, realization, we can be praying expectantly. If you feel like you need to have an alliteration, I put these in V's as well. So you need to pray very specifically, very missionally, very obediently, and very expectantly. All right, so first of all, specifically, verse 12, he says, or verse 13, he says, whatever you ask in my name. Like, that's not just as long as you say some kind of spiritual words. Boing. No, it means you have to ask specifically for something, and he says yes and does it. So here's a question. If the Lord Jesus says yes and does every single thing that you asked him for specifically this past week, what would that look like? Do what? All right. Well, that's good. You got something concrete in mind, right? But like, there you go. Now, I hope the wheels are spinning a little bit and you're going, well, I don't know, what did I ask for, right? That's kind of the point of this little exercise, is to think, am I asking for anything specific? Like, if God said yes, and I'd be like, oh, maybe I don't even really get anything. It was all just kind of like, I just prayed, Lord, I, you know, something, you know. We should be, thank you, Cindy. Time, yeah. That's good. But the thought is here, you know, if we're saying, Lord, we want to reach our neighborhood, we want to reach Hamtramck, are we praying specifically? Just for an example, part of the prompting of why I was praying what I'm going to say I was praying is that I was just feeling, this. I'm getting overwhelmed, we're so busy, there's just so much life happening. I've been trying to line up visits to get out and meet people and connect with folks in our neighborhood, and I just thought, Lord, right now I've just got life to get caught up on, and so I asked, Lord, would you give us visits? Because I don't know who I'm going to plan it with. I don't have time to figure all this. Yeah, but I just said, Lord, I'll ask. Lord, would you please give us visits this week? This was last week. I probably prayed that Monday morning. And I didn't know any way I could line that up. I just said, I'll leave it up to you, Lord, and be ready. And 3 o'clock, our neighbor from across the street calls and he says, hey, we've got some extra food from this food giveaway and we don't want this kind, and would you like it? I'll bring it over. And I said, okay, sure. So he came over and we got to spend an hour just sitting, and Marjorie went, you know, brought some brownies over, and we sat there and we talked, and along the way the Lord opened it up through some different things. I got to share from Isaiah 53, you know, because it just kind of tied into the conversation. Open up the Bible with my neighbor and read this. And it's like, man, that's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. And he said, "Well, when is your wife going to go to the park that I've told you guys? You know, it's a great park. My wife and these other many ladies all love to go and hang out there." And I'm like, "Well, we weren't quite sure where you meant on the map. Could she go with your wife?" And Marjorie's tried, and it's just always been inshallah up in the air. So I said, "Maybe, you know, she would invite Marjorie. Maybe it would work out." Anyways, he went home. And we were preparing food to bring it to somebody that evening, and Marjorie had been working all day, couldn't wait to go and visit this family. We were all getting ready to go, and I get a text from the neighbor, and he says, "Tell Marjorie to be ready, like now." You know, like 6 minutes later, she's out the door. There she goes. She said, "Well, Lord, here we go. This is it." So I took the food with the kids, and we did the visit, and Marjorie took Amy Grace to the stroller, and off she went, and she got to hang out with, I think, like 10, 15 Yemeni ladies all covered up and their faces covered. And she felt, "Oh, this is different. You know, I'm out of my normal culture or whatever." But it was great. She had a great time. And we said, "Thank you, Lord. He gives us visits." And I think the Lord keeps working as we keep asking. And he doesn't always say yes at exactly the time or the way we want. But I believe it really glorifies him when by faith we ask for specific things to help us do what he wants us to do. And the second thing is not just specifically, but we need to be praying missionally. In other words, there's a context to these verses. Jesus is not just saying here, "You know, I just love to do good for people, so you just ask me anything you want and I'll do it. You want more dessert? You want a nicer car? How about a big TV?" Like, that's not what he's talking about, okay? That's not the point here. He is about to die. He's not thinking about comfort and how to everybody have a happy life. He's getting ready to sacrifice everything. Why? To save people from Satan, from sin, from death, from being separated from God, so he could bring eternal life to the world and give people hope and a real relationship with God. Like, that's what he's talking about. He says, "This work that I'm doing, you guys are going to carry it on. It's going to keep going in greater things. There will be people saved and lives changed and sins forgiven." And so when we're thinking, "Okay, Lord, I want to be engaged in what you're doing in my life in Detroit and Hamtramck and Dearborn and my family," then this kind of praying, that's what he's talking about. That's what we can be asking for. And where he says, "You ask me, you can ask me whatever you want," he says, "I will do it." Now, third, we have to pray obediently, because he doesn't say, "You just pray and I'll just go take care of it." The implication here is you're going to be doing it. He says he will do the works, you know, so like, God answers the prayer by working through us. He gives us the chance to go and meet people and talk to them about Jesus and to teach the Bible to our children and to invest in so many different ways of all the stuff that he spells out. These are his commandments. And how do we encourage each other in church and attend meetings and grow? And so we can't just only pray, but he's expecting us to pray and ask, "Okay, Lord, give me something. Show me what to do." And he'll work through us. He'll work through you. Actually, Tyler told me a really cool story yesterday about being exhausted half to death with all the medical issues that he was dealing with. And he was flying back to Iowa. And he did not feel like witnessing to anybody on the plane that day. Now, normally, he does. But he said, "I didn't feel like it." So he said, "I asked God, Lord, please help me, give me something, make something just kind of fall in my lap here, because I don't have much energy of any kind to do something." And you know, the Lord did just that. He says that, I'm not sure exactly how it worked. He said somebody was over here in line, and then he was near him in the airplane, and they got into this really amazing, like, gospel conversation. And so Tyler was like, "Whoa," you know, and it fired him up, and he, of course, jumped in and got involved in that. And but I did notice he had to get out of his seat and move over, like switch places with somebody, and I mightn't understand all the details exactly right. But I said to myself, okay, Tyler was asking God to do that. And well, when God did that, it involved Tyler being part of it and jumping up and moving and acting upon that. And it's the same way, you know, like when he gave us visits, we didn't just say, oh, thank you, Lord, for a visit, and like not take it. We had to change all our plans and act upon it. But God expects us to be praying specifically, missionally, obediently. And here's the really just encouraging part, especially as we gather. I mean, next week, I think we have another Grace Group's prayer meeting in the evening. We come together, we ask these things, we say, Lord, use us, show us what to do, help us figure out what are the steps we take. Then the fourth thing is we can pray expectantly. In other words, like we can expect that God is going to do something, something really good. And honestly, it may not always look like what you think, and it may not always be on your timing. You might think, oh, it'll look like right now. But as we learned in Daniel 11 this morning, God has a, you know, he has got a timing and a history and a plan. And I mean, he doesn't mind doing things over hundreds of years and accomplishing his really amazing purposes. And so it may not always look like what we think, but when it doesn't, we can't go home and just say, oh, forget it. This is hard. We pray and pray and we pray and nothing. No, you pray believing in Jesus, obeying what he's giving you to do step by step, and even when you don't see anything happening in front of you, you can still put your head on the pillow at night and say, God used me to accomplish something, because when I asked, he's going to do it, and that's a win. That's a guarantee. And so there's such a hope here. One thing, just really practically, I would encourage you to be considering is to pray about setting some goals, or to come before the Lord and say, Lord, what specifically should I pray for? Marjorie and I are going through the process of that. We're saying, okay, Lord, you've put us in this place. You've given us this huge, I mean, there's like all these people. What should we ask for? And that's the beauty of it. Even the Lord Jesus doesn't just say, I hope you ask for the right thing and then maybe I'll do it. He's actually going to help us know what to pray for too. And then he'll do it. I mean, he does everything. He's great like that. And so, but ask him, again, be specific. Say, Lord, what should I be praying for that you would do through our family to reach people? Like, one thing is I'm praying, Lord, please help me be able to meet this many people and have this many names written down of folks that I've met in our community by such and such, you know, time. Or, Lord, please help me have this many visits this week. And there's different things, different goals you can set. And you could say, Lord, what have you put, I mean, what have you called our family to do? And it might not be the same as what he calls somebody else, other family to do. But pray. This is something I'd encourage you to do today. Say, Lord, what specifically do you want me to ask for you to do as your works through my life or through our family? And you could be talking about that as a couple or family too. And then he says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So we can have a great, great hope that as we keep growing and he keeps growing us in prayer, there will be definitely a good outcome. Why don't we pray right now and thank the Lord for that? And maybe if you realize, oh man, I have stopped praying, or I've given up, I've gotten discouraged, it would be a good time to renew that commitment, that trust in the Lord, talk to him about that, and let's seek him. Lord, what a great word of encouragement and hope this is. Lord, here is a guarantee for all of us who believe in Jesus as our personal Savior, that you will do your works through us. And so you've kind of showed us how, Lord, for us to let you show us how to pray specifically, and then for us to do that, and you'll answer us. Lord, would you please, I want to pray this for us corporately as a church, would you, Father, guide us, in particular through our leaders, but all of us sharing, talking, praying together, would you, Lord, give us a real sense of forward direction of what we should be asking for and obtaining from you, Lord, so that people could be saved and you could be glorified in Hamtramck, and your name would be exalted through us in our homes and in us ministering to each other and in our community. Thank you, Lord, that you answered prayer. Thank you for dying for us and rising again. You covered all of our debts. Lord, you've done everything. We love you. And I do pray again, Lord, for those who are still not quite sure what this all means, that they could know and believe this gospel too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.